passionate playing, but my father was very country music and very talented. He sounded pretty much like Ernest Tubb, and I didn't actually know my father until I was almost in my teens. I didn't even know what talent he had, you know. And then when we first met, I discovered where mine came from because I first started writing songs and poetry when I was a little bit of everything, but frequently sadness, just hard times.
When did you meet your
husband? My father took me there, and we had relatives there at Whitesville, and he took us there. My dad is not a stable fellow, so he just trapped me all over, and I just went where he went. And at the time, my mother was close to death, so I had to depend on him. I was probably like 14 or 15 when I went to actually Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And right in Pennsylvania, met him. And I met the Congress that year.
Okay. Did you tell me about
they, they had a broadcast. They had a big store called Campbell's Corner, and it wasn't far from where I happened to be living now. And the spirit of that store was just fun and talent and music. You open the door and there's somebody playing music all the time. So I was very attracted to that place. And then at midnight, and I believe it's Saturday night, they broadcast over WWBA here in West Virginia, but it was broadcast out from Maryland, Pennsylvania, there. And it was wonderful. Just wanted just a big old jamboree in the back of the store every week. Have you? Pretty good.
So it was like a grocery store?
Right, it was just country stores, kind of how they are. And they'd go down into North Carolina and places like that and bring things back to that area that wasn't available anywhere else. And then the whole back was really huge and good sound and sound. They broadcast their music and had main stars, you know, frequently. Lester Flatt and Les Scruggs were especially there frequently. And Ola Bell would perform sometimes in songs and things. Yeah, and they really felt like a big shot. You know, they're about 15 years old here in my music play. That was a big deal.
So we were just in the same background.
That's it, yeah. And we had Tom and Bonds, you know, and once they learned I wrote music and food, and I just sort of started falling in with the family. I didn't really have any family, and I seemed to fit. I did play a little bit. I was never much good at it. I sang and wrote and sang mostly. I tried my hand at it, but I just didn't do it.
I
didn't know how to write music, I just did that. But I would sing them to the person, you know, that was in, and then they'd just they'd play it or whatever, and then I would go, or I'd tape it for them sometimes, and then they could hear it on the tape and then play it.
Do you remember what that encounter was like when you told Ella Donna that you were at home when you were singing?
Well, she just, she was like something that is different, you know, and when I was very bad at that time, and but I finally stepped up and told her that I wrote, and she had heard of my dad, they used to have a group here on my phone before, I don't know what, they'd probably been in the 20s, I guess, and they called themselves the Midnight Rounders, and they played over the local station, Oak Hill, they played in Oak Hill back in those days. And so she sort of heard of my dad, you know, so that kind of opened the door for me. But she was really hospitable about me. I strolled through the back, you know, when they were getting the costumes on and stuff, just like I belonged there. That was so cool. That was so cool. I talked to Dolly Parton, also I talked to Hunter Ensign, and he's exactly the same age as I am. And he was 19 when I first met him. And he smiled, and he put his cigarette out in an ashtray and walked around the corner and smoked. I carried that cigarette butt. I carried that cigarette butt around for 30 years. Probably, yeah, and I finally lost it. Oh, yeah, I thought he was really great. Now they can begin that. Yeah. And they believe me.
I don't know, what was
Dolly
Parton like?
Well, she was really friendly. Just pretty much like you see on TV, you know, just outgoing and then another stranger. Oh, the parts were still up to Dolly. Yeah, probably the biggest guys I can remember was Dolly Parton. Well, before, like 60, somewhere around there.
So was that like right after she
It would have been pretty close, yeah. It would have been, because I don't remember him in the picture at all. I think he came, but at the second one.
So what was your life going
on? It was probably during that, probably the best. And I lived with old Beth for at least a couple of years. And I was in my own bedroom. And she was real big on helping kids. She really loved young kids and those who were struggling. Maybe alcohol or just a bad home life. She was really good to help them, especially kids. And I was on her way. She was very good to me. Yeah, she was. Yeah. One of my favorite memories of Olga Bell was she was having a little disagreement with her husband at the kitchen table, and she made the beans and cornbread, and it was a typical country meal. And she said, one of her favorite phrases, if she was a little bit angry with you, well, excuse me for a being. That's what she would say. And so her husband said something, she looked over at Bud, and she said, she wore glasses on and that. She said, well, just excuse me for a bean, and picked up the glasses and put them on and there's no beans on it really ruined her somber moment. I'll never think that as long as I live. Yeah, that's kind of, that kind of broke the strength of the statement. I married Elder Bell's brother. And he's considerably older than me. And he'd never been married. And we just kind of became friends. And I thought, well, I'd like to stay in this family. He said, One thing I can do for you is give you the cameraman. I'll never forget that. You know, and it mattered. It mattered to me because I had a hard life, and I wasn't particularly proud of my name, you know. And I still wear that.
And what was her name?
Herbert. Yes, ma'am. He worked on too, and he played the guitar and a couple other instruments, Beethoven and mandolin. It was very musical. I mean, anything they picked up, Old Bell's son was like almost a kind of a genius. And they just picked it up, and by tomorrow he could play it. This was amazing to me. No, a day that, you know. No, not really. No. We Would you not home a little bit sometimes with the age difference you're through with us? Well, he was about, I guess, about 49, maybe more, but I think that's 17 or 18.
And so then, did you move nearby?
After we separated, yeah, I stayed in that area for quite a while. I think it's been probably another 7 years or so. Mm-hmm. I worked at the Perry Point Rehab Hospital there in Perry Point, Maryland. And when I did leave, I wound up living in Oklahoma City for 15 years, and that's where I ended up doing this work.
And you have one son?
I have one son and one daughter.
Mm-hmm. And how old are
you? Well, Jeremy is, let me see, I have to think, probably 42, going to be 43, so Jeremy's right up 50. Now my daughter, plus I'd had babies, you know, they took a lot of for them, but, I was still playing songs.
You were still writing
songs? Oh, yeah, I wrote songs. I probably just stopped in the last 20 years.
Okay.
I really haven't written some poetry and things more recently, but you change within yourself, you change inside, you know, and I don't know exactly what happened. Also, sometimes you just feel a little discouraged, because I had some negative experiences, and it just discourages you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jeremy mentioned to you that it's terrible taking a song from me, but I'm just telling you that because there's nothing I can do to prove it. But my dad went to Nashville with some of my work, and he knew them, and he knew them. Grandpa James had recorded for my dad, and excuse me again. So for some reason, my dad decided he'd take, and I was really excited about it, you know, but he said he'd take the, he'd pick up certain if he could get a couple of recordings. He'd sign it and get a couple of his done, too. But they didn't want any of his, at least one took one of mine and promised. Well, Grandpa Jones kept his promise, and we got the contract, and Grandpa Jones did record it. But we were all standing in Campbell's Corner one day, and Ernest came across the radio, and everybody came down to the corner. That was not me. Everybody. And all of us. It was just like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was a shock. And as far as I know, that was the last song of any consequence to him. I just went, I think I remember that we made a hit from it, but I can't even tell you a song of it. And so I was so hurt by it. And Jeremy even asked me when I talked to him, he said, "What? Do you remember what that song was?" I said, "I can't remember." I think I did. Yeah. The one that is called my daddy's song, I'll tell you this one first. Daddy's song that Grandpa James recorded is "My Darling, Not My Darling Anymore." And the one he recorded for me is "Passes in the Air." It's the name of it. It was recorded on a limited edition. It was called "Grandpa James Live in Black Stallion High," and the LPs. And they were very limited, and I can't find them. I can't find them. I did years ago when the internet was first, you know, the big thing, and, but I couldn't find it then. But, you know, my head is ever let down. And I hadn't really, so I had that. I had a computer, but I just didn't have it. I hadn't thought that it was that. I wouldn't know whether it would look for it. But it was, you know, I'm proud of it. It's got my name. Daddy took them, and I don't remember how. I think they were just, I don't know, some type. We did a lot of typing back then. It came out of there.
And how would you say it? If you just
I can remember, we had another cousin who had stayed when we first got to Pennsylvania, and everybody in that family was doing it. I'm telling you, they could really play. And he had a tape machine. I actually, somewhere in my junk, had a tape that was, it had to be on a cassette. Were they asking? It had to be.
And they weren't really
asking. Well, I still didn't. He's still talking like 60.
Then maybe it was
bigger. It had to be. I probably did. I always step back, and those sessions would last a while, and she starts close to school with me, you know, and so we wouldn't disappear. I know they did a lot of work for her and our company, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Have you seen the book?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Jeremy sent me one. Yeah. Did you get one?
Yeah.
And it is.
And there was just the song in there, and then
they sent me, I didn't make much off of it, but, you know, it was on an album and music, but he honored it to the tee, and his daughter was who I mostly communicated with, but I met him at campus, but his daughter, I think her name was Marlene, and the recording company was called the Ray L. Marlene, M-A-R-L-E-E, and I think her name is Marlene, but I think some of them named it to after her or something.
And so your dad, what was the question?
There's an argument about that. But his first name was Beverly.
Okay.
Beverly Jack White, and he told everybody his name was Jack, and he did not like that. Beverly, and I can't mind him from that.
And so when you recorded, you recorded Jack, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so,
I believe it was Grandpa Jones.
Okay.
And my father was a career criminal. And the interesting still will, I mean, I could still write you a poem about any time, you know. It's almost unbelievable. I woke up from that song, I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
But I've heard other people say that, that it just comes from something. Oh, this one, it doesn't work out. I had a dream once that I was going to save all this money. I was getting ready to mail about 5 or 6 letters, and I thought if I put them all in an envelope, they're all going to different places. I'm going to put them all in one envelope, and I swear, I woke right up thinking, what a great idea. And then I thought about it, no, that's not a good idea. My daughter still, like to see other stories. My daughter just thinks it's hilarious. She says, well, let's just put them all in the mind.
So would you just have a cat in the book?
Yeah, but I've got a couple of little beauty awards, you know, that we have been published in small places. I bought some stuff up there.
I was doing some work with just another woman in Houston, Mississippi. And she was a dancer for them. Actually, pretty similar style. She's full body and all of this.
Yeah.
And she had made a kid like she would write them down over and over again, like if she felt a certain way, like she would pull up the poem and write it down, and that was her way of kind of like expressing herself. Or if there was a feeling she had, and she didn't have a doctor, she would write them down. So if there was like one hospital baby,
I don't know whether to call it tragedy or what, but there's sometimes the only way if you have any information about you, you just have to cope with it in that way. As a matter of fact, you know, the one that first time I remember Oladipo was singing there, it was called Mommy I Wait. And then, oh, geez, you talk about somebody that's tragic. Oh, my God, another song that sounded beautiful. And there was one lady that I met in the home city that played one of the tragic first times, and she just played the piano with my lyrics, and she just played my kind of music too. Yeah, and I grew up for the rest of my life, she really made it beautiful.
They were
by Melody. Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. That was beautiful too. You don't think it.
Right.
You just don't see anything to it. It's just you and nobody appreciated but me sitting there listening to that. Yeah, okay. I did that.
Well, that's interesting.
It is. It is.
And
did
you say
that? Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah. Many dogs. Yeah, I still sing a lot. My daughter said something to me about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was singing, and she said, I smoked, you know, for a while. I quit in 2000. And I really kind of lost my voice from that smoking. And she said, geez, man, somehow I think I really love that's the one song I've ever written that I wish I would use. It's one of the choices or something, you know, because it really is about a lot of spirit. Mm-hmm. And you know how I'm sure you understand it, but sometimes you feel like it wasn't it was divine and fine. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about that song.
Could you
I used to run especially while I'm living at home. That was probably I went to a full gospel church, you know, and where they play music and sang and danced, and I loved that. I would sing that with them.
Okay. Yeah.
Did
you ever
Yeah, I wonder if I had one. I was a push button drive. Yeah, my dad bought an old Plymouth with a push button drive, and he'd never driven before. And he paid the guy on a car lot, and he said, "Okay, now show me how to drive it." And the guy just dropped his teeth, you know. And so he showed me how, and there was a push button. Push button drive and cross and reverse and on the front of the car. You know, I've never seen that before or since. You know, no wonder so that's about it. But we drove to Bonnet and Syrian, and we drove to Logan, and it took us something like 8 hours to say that I had to hang my head out all the way from Syrian to Logan. Back then, I was probably 3 foot. And I had a hang. I said, it's okay, you know, on this side of the line when something's coming, you know. Oh my God. I didn't have a driver's license, and he'd never driven before. And another time he picked up his mom. They lived in Kensington, Plymouth Mountain. And we were coming to Sheridan, and my mom stayed in Sheridan. And there was a parking lot in that, and he came down and kind of tilted like that, and there was a railroad track in front of it, and he went to stop it, and he stopped. The brakes went out, and Grandma, she was all about 4'9" or something like that, and she was sitting down there, and she said, "What's the matter, Jack? Don't you know how to stop it?" Nobody got too upset about it.
So you had a fun
moment. Yeah, I did. I sure did. That was worth it. But I, you know, I've got